All right, Brent. You know, Jim, too, you want to just turn it out just low enough so it'll pick up on there? Okay, okay. Roll back again. We're studying the verse Matthew 8, 16 to 17. Again, moreover, from a Hebraic perspective, the body and souls are viewed as a unity. What affects... Okay, I got it on. Okay. What affects one affects the other. I just want to read you again. I referred to this last week. This is a book by S. McMillan. Actually, it's about 34 years old, but he wrote a book, None of These Diseases. And he uses a lot of the Tanakh. But he says this in one of his books, and I just want to reread it again. I read it last week. It says, the attitudes that cause disease include fear, jealousy, envy, rage, resentment, and hatred. Also included are other emotions when in excess, sorrow, ambition, frustration, and need for love or security. Observe that these disease-producing emotions are concerned with protecting and coddling the self, and they could be summarized under one title, self-centeredness. Centuries before modern psychiatry discovered that certain emotions are important factors in the development of many diseases, the Apostle Paul condemned these emotions. The activities of the lower nature are obvious. Here is a list. Sexual immorality, hatred, quarreling, jealousy, bad temper, rivalry, factions, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like that. But God did not intend man to be controlled by these emotions. So Paul added, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And then he goes on to say, again, this is an excellent book because they point out that a lot of sickness and disease that come on people is because of wrong attitudes and wrong emotions, okay? And it's scriptural because the Bible tells us how we are to walk and talk and how we are to act. The Greek metaphysical world that made a marked distinction between physical and non-physical worlds is not the worldview of the Hebrews and therefore not the perspective from which the apostles write. Thirdly, the larger context of Isaiah 53 makes it clear the manner in which the suffering servant bears the sickness and sorrows of mankind is through his suffering and death for our sins. But his ultimate expression should not diminish the fact that his ministry to the weak and helpless was likewise a part of his suffering. And I want to show you something that's pretty cool, too. I want to pass these out, though, because I wanted you to have a copy. Jim, could you make sure everybody have a copy of this? Again, everything Yeshua did was in accord with the Torah. Okay? And as we study this, we see that the healing is part of the covenant. Okay? And we went through those scriptures last week, and they're up there on the table if you want them. I didn't print out the notes from here, but what I'm going to do is all these teachings on Matthew, I'm going to put on a CD. By the time we get through, it's going to be a lot of information, but hallelujah. Okay. So thirdly, the larger context of Isaiah 53 makes it clear the manner in which the suffering servant bears the sickness and sorrows of mankind is through his suffering and death for our sins. So I was just doing some research, and I know we talked about this in one Torah study, but somebody did, and I'll give you the website if you want to look at it in more depth. They did a study of Yeshua's genealogy in Matthew and the meaning of the names for each of the people in his genealogy. And he calls it the name codes. He says encoded in these names is really God's message proclaiming Yeshua, okay? So from God, Adam, Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalal, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah, this is the meaning of their names. The God-man is appointed, a mortal man of sorrow is born. The glory of God shall come down, instructing that his death shall bring those in despair comfort and rest. Gee, do you think that's just a coincidence? Hallelujah. Yeshua said, in the volume of the book, it is written of him. Hallelujah. Then from Shem to Terah, I'm not going to read off all the names, the meanings of their names say, the fame of Babylon's fortress and sorrow extend like a plant Beyond the place of division at the Tower of Babel, a friend also branches out, enraged with fury. Then you go from Abraham to Jacob. A glorious father laughs as he outwits his enemy. A mighty prince sees God. And then we go to from Judah all the way to Rehoboam. This is the meaning of their names. Again, this is all Messiah's genealogy. One who praises the Lord breaks open a way into an area surrounded by a wall of great height. O my people who belong to the prince, a prophet clothed with strength who serves the Lord is here, one well-loved, peaceful, and who sets the people free. And then from Abijah all the way down to Manasseh, my father is the Lord, the healer of him whom the Lord judged and whom the Lord raised up. The Lord took hold of me, and the Lord is strong. Mighty is the Lord. My strength and help are in the Lord. The Lord is perfect. I took hold of the strength of the Lord. It made me forget my misery. And then from Amon to down to Zerubbabel. Again, this is the meaning of their names. Truly, I am the master builder whom the Lord healed, whom the Lord raised up, whom the Lord upholds. Did uphold and will uphold. I have asked God about the ransomed of the Lord, the exiles who are in Babylon. And then from Abiud all the way down to Yeshua and the congregation. My Father is glorious. My God will raise up a helper, the just one. Will the Lord raise up? My God is my praise. God will help. May the gift of Jacob increase in greatness. For God is with us, the Messiah and Savior of those called out of Babylon. Hallelujah. I think that's pretty cool. Hallelujah. In using his supreme authority, he never did so for his own comforts or to satisfy himself. He healed the despised leper. We saw in verses a couple weeks ago, we talked about, it was last week, the different people that came to him for healing. He healed the despised leper, and we see this in Matthew 8, verses 1 to 4. A Gentile centurion's servant who was helplessly ill, verses 5 to 13. Others sick, verses 14 and 15, no matter how many. Thus he gave his life a ransom for many. It was nothing less than an extension of the same authority dedicated toward the good of others. We're going to look through some of these healing scriptures. But as you study the Gospels, the good news, Bisorah, it's the good news. You see that Yeshua, preached the kingdom of God, repentance, the kingdom of God is here, brought healing, sickness, and deliverance. Okay? And my thing is, shouldn't we be doing that? Shouldn't we be preaching the kingdom, laying hands on the sick? Fight for the glory of God, that Yeshua may be glorified. Matthew 4:23, let's let the scriptures speak for themselves, okay? Yeshua was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues. Oh, he attended synagogue. Hallelujah. And proclaiming the gospel, or Bisorah, good news of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sicknesses among the people. Again, you see, kingdom, healing. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Matthew 9, verses 18 to 22. While he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." Yeshua got up and began to follow him, and so did his disciples, or Talmudim. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringes of his cloak. And it's talking about the tzitzit. His tzitzit. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garments, I will get well." She was taken hold of that covenant promise. She knew that when Messiah would come, he came with healing in his wings. And she took a big risk because she had an issue of blood, so she was considered unclean, and she shouldn't have been out in public until the healing came. Okay, but she heard about the Master. And she knew, being a daughter of Abraham, that she had a covenant with God. And nothing was going to stop her from taking hold of that. For she was saying to herself, if only I touch his garments, I will be well. But Yeshua, turning and seeing her, said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. At once the woman was made whole. Hallelujah. When Yeshua came to the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd in noisy disorder, in other words, they were mourning, okay, lamenting because the little girl had died. He said, leave, for the girl has not died but is asleep. And they began laughing at him. And when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. The news spread throughout all that land. Again, that reminds me of the story, if you remember back to, look back to 2 Kings 4, the woman whose son, again, the Haftorah, he had died, and the prophet went there was raised from the dead. Verse 27, and Yeshua went out from under. Two blind men followed him, crying out, have mercy on us, son of David. Again, that's a messianic title. When he entered the house, the blind man came up to him, and Yeshua said to him, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said to him, yes, Lord, or Adonai, or Master, or would it be Adon? Is it Adon or Adonai, Bruce? Would it be Adonai? Yes, Lord? Okay. Then he touched their eyes, saying, it shall be done to you according to your faith. Matthew 9:35, Yeshua was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Okay, we know what is the one thing, I think the biggest thing that the enemy does to try to get rid of us? Sickness and disease. You know, God says, with a long life I will satisfy you and show you my salvation, my Yeshua. Why? Because we have a job to do here. You know, and yes, it's a battle. Having done all to stand, we need to stand. Okay? And then you may think, well, how come some people aren't healed? You know what? That's between them and God. I just know God's word is true, and it's not for me to judge why somebody gets healed and when somebody doesn't. The most important thing is, are they saved? The most important thing, do they know Yeshua? You know, because to be absent from the body is to be in his presence. And I look at it this way, they're just on vacation. You know, because one day we are going to be reunited. That's what our faith is about. If there is no resurrection, you know, then we have no hope. But there is a resurrection. Yeshua rose from the dead. You know, he lives, and he says, he goes, if I live, you're going to live as well. But we have a job to do here on earth. And the word says we have 70, 80 years. You know, or some people could even get up to 120. Why? Because we got a job to do. And I think it's important that we stay in the center of his will and do and be obedient. Because I believe a lot of times disobedience, there's a lot of things that'll cut our life short. Disobedience, unforgiveness, lashon hara, speaking evil. There's a lot of things that we do to ourselves, that we open ourselves up to the enemy. We don't repent, and we keep on, and God is merciful. He'll deal with us, you know. And when we repent, does he forgive us? Yes. Did he love these people any more that lived back then than us today? No. Just as they needed to know that he is the Messiah, that he has the power to heal, to deliver, according to the messianic promises, isn't that the same truth today? Hallelujah. Matthew 12:9-13. Departing from there, he went into their synagogue. And a man was there whose hand was withered. And they questioned Yeshua, asking, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? So they might accuse him. Again, if you know anything about rabbinic law, okay, they built fences around the Sabbath, you know. At first, they thought, oh, it was a good idea to keep them from breaking Torah. We'll build fences. But they kept on building fences and building fences. I've got books, commentaries, rabbinic commentaries on how to keep Shabbat. There's like over 1,000 laws on keeping Shabbat. You know, and it's like Shabbat's supposed to be a joy and a blessing. And I understand on one hand, you know, they probably had the right intention that, you know, that we don't break the Torah. But then Yeshua said, you made your traditions, you know, make the word a non-effect. But don't we do that today? Don't we cling to our traditions instead of the word? When we're told the truth about Sabbath, you know, we say, well, no, God changed that. Where? Well, I don't know. You know, he changed it. If it's not in his word, he didn't change it. But it's a tradition of men, but we hang on to it. The Sabbath hasn't changed. It goes all the way back to the very beginning. Hallelujah. So again, and he said to them, what man is there among you who has a sheep that falls into a pit on the Sabbath? Will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Okay, this is the master of the universe. This is the one who created the Sabbath. Said it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. You know, I had some, you know, some women come to me and begin because of wrong teaching, you know. Oh, you know, if your child's sick, is it okay to buy medicine? I said, of course, your child is sick. Do you think God doesn't want you to take care of your child? You know, or they say, well, you know, I can't, you know, heat up food to feed them. It's like, don't be ridiculous. You know, you need to take care of your children, okay? And it's, again, because people don't, they get themselves into bondage because they don't know the truth of the word. Are we to keep the Sabbath holy and set apart? Yes, we are. Okay, but Yeshua said it is lawful to do good. It is lawful to save a life on the Sabbath. It is lawful to heal on the Sabbath. If Yeshua said it's okay, then it's okay. That's all I need to know. Hallelujah. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out and it restored to normal like the other. I mean, that is a miracle. That is instantaneous healing. Matthew 14. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. Don't you think God feels compassion today for us when we're sick? Do you think God says, oh, goody, they're sick. Oh, good, they've got cancer. Hallelujah. Oh, good, they're in pain and agony. No, he doesn't. That grieves his heart. He's a father. Do we rejoice when our children are sick? When our children are sick, we are there hurting right along with them. We are trying everything we can to do to make them whole and healthy. We're not saying, well, God's trying to teach you a lesson, so you know what, just deal with it. No, he is our healer. He is a compassionate one. This is our hope we can lay hold of. When they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent word into all the surrounding district and brought to him all who were sick. And they implored him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak, again talking about the tzitzit, and as many as touched him were cured. Hallelujah. And large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel. I say, how much more today don't people need to see that? Why? So he'll get glory, not so we can make a name for ourselves, so we can have a big healing revival, and everybody says, oh, come see Jim Samans, the great healer. You know, no, it's because it's a witness to people of God's love and mercy. And that Yeshua is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he is the Messiah. He is the promised Messiah, the deliverer, the one who died for us, our Redeemer. Matthew 20. Verse 29, and as they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. And two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Yeshua was passing by, cried out, Lord, have mercy on us, son of David. And the crowd sternly told them to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, Lord, son of David, have mercy on us. And Yeshua stopped and called them and said, what do you want me to do for you? And they said, Lord, we want our eyes to be opened. Moved with compassion, Yeshua touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Matthew 21:14, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Hallelujah. Now we go into Acts, the apostles, okay? Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. Okay, the hour of prayer is 3:12. It's every third hour, the hour of prayer, okay? A Jewish person will pray every 3 hours, okay? There's the morning, noon, and evening. And a man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along when they used to set every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. But Peter looked along with John, fixed his eyes on him, and said, "Look at us." Again, command, they were saying that in authority. "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something for them. He thought, okay, they're going to give me a good offering that I'll have money to take care of myself. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, or Yeshua HaMashiach, the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. With a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Acts 5, verse 12 to 16. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. But none of the rest dared to associate with them. However, the people held them in high esteem. And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number, to such an extent that they even carried the sick out into the streets and laid them on cots and pallets, so that when Peter came by, at least his shadow may fall on any one of them. Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all being healed. Hallelujah. That's the kind of anointing I want. Hallelujah. But you know what? There's a price to pay. There's a price to pay for serving God. Yeshua said that, narrow is the way. And I was looking up, and in the Greek, it says, narrow is the way and with afflictions, okay? You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be laughed at. If they laughed at Yeshua, are they going to laugh at you? Yeah? Who cares? We are to do the works of our master, okay? But there's a price to be paid. There's a cost to serving him. There's a cost to being in the ministry. Your time's not your own. People think, oh, wow, why am I in the ministry? Wow, isn't that glamorous, isn't it exciting? You know what? It's a lot of work, but it's a blessing, because we're serving the master. Your time is no longer yours. Your time belongs to him. And God wants to use every single one of us. Again, every single one of us have a sphere of influence who we can minister to and pray for, okay? Again, in the name of Yeshua, that he gets the glory. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Messiah to them. The crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip, and they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them shouting with a loud voice, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in that city. Rejoicing comes when people are set free and delivered. Acts 9:32-34. Now Peter was traveling through all those regions. He came down also to the saints who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Yeshua the Messiah heals you. Get up, make your bed." Immediately he got up. Acts 14. At Lystra, a man was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who never walked. This man was listening to Shaul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him and had seen that he had faith to be made well, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped and began to walk. Acts 19, 11, and 12. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Shaul, so that handkerchiefs or aprons were even carried from the body, from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out. Acts 28. And it happened that the father of Publius was laying in bed afflicted with recurrent fever and dysentery. And Paul went in to see him, and after he had prayed, he laid his hands on him and healed him. After this had happened, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases were coming to him and getting cured. They also honored us with many marks of respect, and when we were setting sail, they supplied us with all we needed. Again, it was a witnessing opportunity too. I mean, word spread quick. When somebody got healed, word spread quick. And they didn't have a cell telephone. I mean, talk about word of mouth, you know. They didn't have computers. I mean, that word went out and they came by the droves to receive healing. Again, we were talking about, you know, last week, you know, if you believe it's God's will for you to be sick, then you shouldn't be going to a doctor. You shouldn't be taking medicine. You know, you shouldn't be doing anything to make you healthy, because then you're breaking God's will, aren't you? But his word says that by his, you know, his stripes we are healed. His word, and there is many, I'm not even going over all the scriptures that talk about healing. God wants us well. We have a job to do here. Again, that Yeshua may be glorified. James 5:14, and this is the last one, and then we're going to pray for people too. Is someone among you ill? This is a complete Jewish Bible. He should call for the elders of the congregation. They will pray for him and rub olive oil on him in the name of the Lord. The prayer offered with trust will heal the one who is ill. The Lord will restore his health, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Again, you see, repentance and healing go hand in hand as well. Therefore, openly acknowledge your sins to one another and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, again, key verse, verse 16. Therefore, openly acknowledge your sins to one another. Okay? We should be such a tight community that we can come together and say, you know what, I'm struggling with this. I need your prayer. Please pray for me. But we're not. We're afraid to. Why? Because we're afraid that, you know, we're going to be judged wrongly. Okay? But it says we're to confess our sins to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Okay? None of us are perfect. Okay? Every day as we're walking with the Lord, we are walking in more perfection for him, with him. You know, we'll pray for you in a minute. Okay, down. You know, but we're going from glory to glory. Hallelujah. And God says, be perfect as I am perfect. So is it possible? Yes, because he said, walk perfectly before me. Yes, we can, because there were men and women in the Bible that did just that. Okay? But again, how much do we love God? I believe it all boils down to, you know, do we love him, you know, more than our own selves? Do we love him more than our comforts? Do we love him more than, you know, doing other things on Shabbat? You know, it's like he needs to be our first love. He wants all of us. You know, we say the Shema, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your being, and love your neighbor as yourself. Again, I believe a lot of times we open the doors to the enemy because of our own unforgiveness in our life. Okay, or not, by not obeying maybe some of the dietary laws. Okay, I was just sharing last week, it was, you know, if God didn't want us well, why did he create in our body antibodies that automatically that attack anything that does not belong in the body? God put that in our bodies. I mean, it's just like awesome. I was just looking it up and just, you know, seeing it's when they aren't working right that sickness is allowed to attack the body. But God put in our body the ability to heal. I mean, it's just amazing. I was just sharing, like, I found this one thing. It was online. It was like a microscopic picture of a cell, and it was probably magnified billions of times. It is just amazing what goes on inside this one little minute cell. I mean, it was like this, again, the stick figure, like a robot, was going around busy working inside this cell. And this was an actual, I mean, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, it's like, wow. You know, it's just mind-boggling. I don't know how anybody can be a scientist and not believe in God. You know, it's like, to me, you're stupid. I don't care if you got a PhD. You know, how can you say that this just all just happened? That's one of the things we're going to be teaching the teens in the youth meetings, is we're going to be talking about creation, how to stand up, you know, for creation and know how to stand up for their faith. Because believe me, I was reading this one article where the teens that go to secular colleges end up losing their faith because they are constantly being hit with atheistic, you know, garbage, lies. And we need to train up our teens to know that, you know, if you don't believe Genesis 1:1, you're not going to believe any other scripture. It all started in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If you don't believe that, you're not going to believe anything else. Our teens need to know that they know that they know that in the beginning, Barashit, Bara, Hashemim,
Elohim,
created the heavens and the earth. Because it all stems from that. What is the one thing that they try to convince everybody in schools that God didn't create the heavens and the earth? And if people are convinced of that, then you know what? It's like, well, then I don't have a God I have to be accountable for. I don't have to believe this Bible. Okay? And that's, you know, it's like, we want to give our teens some strong. I mean, to me, it's like the birth of a child. How could you not believe in God when you see how a baby is born? How could you believe that we just came out of nothing? That just, you know, boom, big bang, you know, people came. Yes?
This watch, which keeps time for like a nanosecond, and it'll stop, is one iota of the complexity of the human body, the human brain. But according to them, this sort of just evolved on the Cocoa Beach in South Florida.
Right.
When some particles got heated up and sort of, right? And ludicrous.
I know. It's
and
just.
And the risk that it's on is so much more complex than the watch. But this has a designer.
Amen. Amen. Again, Genesis 1:1, that he is the one who created. And again, you know, we didn't come crawling out from the ocean, you know, like, again, you taught in school, you were an amoeba, and that amoeba started to swim, and then it got feet, and then it crawled the earth, and all of a sudden it became a person. You know, I tell people, well, you know, how come monkeys aren't turning into people today if that's where we involved them? You know, who with intelligence, I rather believe that I am fearfully and wonderfully made, that God had a purpose for me. Every single one of us is unique. Your DNA is so unique that now they've got the ability to just look at your DNA and see exactly where you came from. You know, your different lineages and everything. Everybody's DNA is unique. And I even heard, too, by somebody who knows Hebrew, that even you can see the Hebrew alphabet, I believe, in the blood cells, in the DNA. Okay? So, I mean, it's just like, God is so awesome. You know, it's just like, you know, I know my brother's a scientist, and it's like, you know, unless they can see it, they don't believe. And I thought, you know what? Look at yourself in the mirror. You know, you were created. I mean, man, if you want to watch a good movie, it's called Expelled by Ben Stein. You know, and it's like, again, we want to, and I mean, you get off track, but we want our teens to know that they know that they know that God, that Bereshit, Genesis 1:1, is the truth, period. Okay? And that his word is true. Hallelujah. I know you wanted to share something before. I don't know if you probably forgot what you wanted to say before. Okay. Okay. Come on, I'm wound down, so.
When you're what?
I'm down. I'm done.
Oh, okay. The only reason why I wanted so I wouldn't forget what verse, and then I found it. If you wanted to put Matthew 4, 23 and 24 out there, can you find that one?
Yeah, I can pull it up. I can pull
it
up.
Is it early on in the presentation?
No, I can. I've got, I can pull it up. I don't know if you can be able to see it, though. The fonts may be too small, but I'll get it up.
It was like one of the first few slides of your presentation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that may be very okay. Very.
It's one of the first few when you started. I think you have them in order, right? By scriptures? Matthew 4? There's a couple after that one.
Okay. Verse 23, he was in the Galilee. Verse 24, now watch this. Okay, you have all these people with sickness, diseases, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and so forth. And you were saying, just towards the end here, about, you know, maybe like people because of the dietary laws, and they're sick because they have all these things. Now watch this. It says, now watch this, say, the news spread about him throughout all Syria. Well, Syria is the Assyrian Empire.
Right.
Went all the way to the Euphrates River, which is where they carried away the 10 northern tribes. And Josephus records that there were Israelites beyond the river, Euphrates. So throughout the entire, what was the Syrian Empire, you have so-called 10 lost tribes. They were mixed in among them, doing all these things that the pagans in those countries did. Yet they knew their ancestry. And so here he is in the Galilee, right? And they hear that there's a prophet in Israel, right? And they come also. And I believe that these that have come, this is what I believe, are lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Amen.
Who are sick and diseased and demoniacs and all that, because they're disobeying, they're living in disobedience of the Torah.
Amen.
Although they are descended from those who were carried away.
Amen.
That's what I believe.
Amen. And it wasn't there, it was the reason they were sent into captivity in the first place. Why? For disobedience of the Torah.
Isn't that amazing? So, verse 23, he's in Galilee, so he's been, and that's not part of, it's part of the, not part of the province of Judea, but it's part of, you know, what was the remnant that came back from Babylon, so they were all there, and then you have the rest of the Israelites, I believe in verse 24. But I think in both two verses, you see, he's reaching out to both.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting?
Amen. You know, it's just, again, you know, it's, even though, you know, the northern tribes were lost, Judah never lost their identity. You know, because of God's covenant with David, he says, you know, there will always be a king on your throne. They never lost their identity of who they were. You know, that was never lost. But the 10 lost tribes, they lost their identity. It says they became as a nation, but their DNA was still there. Even the rabbis say that the knowledge they had of the true God, they brought into these nations. Okay, even though they eventually became like the pagans. You know, again, too, like you said, I believe that that was, they still had that knowledge within them, because in their DNA, they're still Israelites, even though they probably didn't, you know, they were closer to, you know, their ancestry back then than now, because we've gotten so far from it. But again, they knew that covenant, you know, and I believe, too, that those of us that maybe you don't have a Jewish heritage, okay? But God is bringing you back, says, in the nations. And Israel says, Abraham's seed would be as what? The seas, the sands of the sea. Abraham's seed is all over the place. You know, if you think of how all the Hebrew kings, you know, married wives and had children. I mean, you know, maybe they didn't end up becoming, you know, part of, you know, the covenant of Israel. They're all over, the Ethiopian Jews in Africa. You know, they're offshoot of Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. Amen. God knows how. It's like, you know, one of the first things that, you know, 35 years ago when I was first a believer, I would read about, you know, the 12 tribes of Israel and everything. And I'd think, well, God, I go, you know, Jewish people know who they are, but how about all these others? You know, how are they going to know? But, you know, that's the Rock HaKodesh's job. He's the one who leads us and brings us into all truth. That's why if you weren't, you know, maybe you weren't brought up in a home where you learned Torah and you knew about the feasts and you knew about the kosher laws, but the Ruach HaKodesh was dealing with you. You know there's more. There's something more here. There's something more that I'm not learning. And, you know, God, what did God do then? He sent witnesses to you to share this with you. And the biggest problem is right up here. You know, everything we've learned that was not scriptural. So what happens? Your spirit's saying, yeah. That's right. That's the truth. And your head's saying, but that's not what my pastor told me. You know? And your spirit's saying, then God gives you another scripture about Shabbat. Yeah, that's the truth. That's the word. And your mind's saying, no. My pastor said this, you know, the Sabbath's been done away with. So again, you have to come to the point, are you going to believe the word? Or are you going to believe what somebody's saying about the word? Okay? We need to believe what the word of God says. and take their first step to obey him. Again, this is happening all over the world. God is bringing his people back to the truth of his Torah. And again, we won't get into that. That's a whole nother, you know, teaching. But that's a good example that you brought out, you know, about that. I never really saw that before. So hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for this day, that this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, now, in the authority of your word, Father, you said, according to James 5:18, to call for the elders, Father, of the congregation, Father, to pray for those who are sick, Father. And Father, now we just lift up first those that maybe not be here that need healing. Father, Pastor Scott, I thank you, Father, that he is totally free, Father, from any more seizure problems, Father, because by the stripes of Yeshua, he's healed. Father, and we just now, Father, bring, is there anybody that first we need to lift up before we lay hands on anybody? Yes, Pat?
Derek, my husband, he's got a bad ear infection in his throat, he's very sore.
Okay.
And also, Tony needs deliverance.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Hallelujah. Father, we bring Jerry before you in the name of Yeshua. Father, we just thank you, Father, that by the stripes of Yeshua, he's healed. Father, that is part of our covenant promises. And we stand in the gap for Jerry. Father, I thank you, Father, that an ear infection and that sore throat, whatever virus is causing it, he has to go in the name of Yeshua. Father, we just speak forth your word, Father. And I thank you that when Patricia goes home, Father, that she also anoints Jerry and lays hands on him as well, Father, and that they agree together that he is healed in Yeshua's name. Father, we thank you that Tony, Father, is delivered, Father, from every destruction of the enemy, Father, from anything that would try to take hold of his life that's not of you, Father. Father, we pray that Tony's eyes would be open and that he would teshuva, Father, turn back in repentance, Father, and serve God with all his heart and all his soul and all his mind, Father. We thank you that he is delivered, Father. We thank you that all our children, Father, who may not be serving you yet, Father, we thank you that the prodigals are coming home, Father. Father, we thank you that you are bringing laborers across their path to share the truth of Yeshua, Father, with them. We thank you, Father, that the years of sowing the word in their life has not been in vain, Father. You knew how to get to us, Father, and you know how to get to our children. And we thank you, Father, that you are bringing them home that they may serve you. And Father, I pray for the youth ministry, Father. I pray that you would just do a great work among our young people and they would bring their friends, Father. And Father, that these kids would learn the whole truth of your word, Father, from Genesis, Father, all the way to Revelation. And they will be able to take a stand for their faith, Father, and lead others to you in Yeshua's name. Does anybody needs prayer of agreement for anything? Hallelujah. For you to go to India? Okay. Father, we thank you in the name of Yeshua that that everything goes well with Bill's visa, Father, and that he is able to get to India. Father, we thank you that he'll be able to bring his wife home with him in the name of Yeshua. Father, we also lift Brian up to you, Brian Alberson, Father, who's being kept in prison in the Philippines, Father. Father, against false charges that people have brought against him. Father, I thank you for his release and deliverance. Father, he has gone there with one purpose, and that is to preach the truth of your word, Father, and your Torah. Father, I pray that no weapon formed against him can prosper, and every tongue that has risen against him in judgment shall be shown to be in the wrong. I thank you, Father, that he would be encouraged, Father. And we thank you for his deliverance and release from that jail in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Yes. Amen. Amen. That's what we all need to do. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you in the name of Yeshua. Father, for our sister and for every single one of us, Father, that we would be wholly submitted to your will for our life, Father. Father, that we would keep our hand to the plow and go forward and not look back, and that we would run that race with patience, Father, and not be distracted by anything that would keep us from doing what you have called us to do, Father. And I thank you for that in Yeshua's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Patrick. Okay, come on up, Dominic. Jim, you're one of the elders. Hallelujah. Come on up. Ruth, you're the teacher's leader, so come on up. Hallelujah. By the stripes of Yeshua, you're healed, right? Amen. So just agree in prayer. Hallelujah. For your healing, that headache gets to go. Father, I thank you in the name of Yeshua, Father, for Dominic, Father. I thank you in the name of Yeshua, that headache, anything that's causing it, has to leave his body now in Yeshua's name, Father. I thank you that his blood flows freely, Father, and in the name of Yeshua, Dominic is healed, and his headache has to go now in the name of Yeshua. Thank you, Father, that you have begun a good work, and Dominic will continue to do it until the day of Messiah, Father. Father, I thank you, Father, that he is free from autism in the name of Yeshua. Father, that he is calling forth those things in his brain, Father, that function perfectly in Yeshua's name and in his nervous system in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you for Dominic, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You're a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Love Yeshua.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yes. Amen. Come on up. She is a daughter of the covenant, Father. We stand on your word, Father. Father, thank you for healing, Father, because healing is part of our covenant. And Father, in the name of Yeshua, the name that is above all names, we thank you for healing this muscle and these nerves and this pain has to go in the name of Yeshua. By the stripes of Yeshua, Marsha is healed, Father. And we thank you, Father, hallelujah, that this pinched nerve or whatever is causing this pain, Father, is to leave her body, Father. Thank you for healing, Father, and health, Father, in Yeshua's name. Thank you, Father. Amen. 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 Well, hallelujah. We got some goodies back there to munch on. I'll make some more coffee. The thing probably is getting low. God is good, hallelujah. And those that still have more fortitude, we'll take a break and then we'll do some of the Torah study. And I think I really want to focus on the Haftorah this week because the Haftorah really fits into what we're studying about these two women of God who received great miracles. Hallelujah. Also here, I don't know if you guys, this is the November calendar. As well, and we also have in March, Lori, we're all going to be here to have decided. We were praying because this for 3 years we've had these big conferences, and these big conferences really cost a lot of money. Each conference costs about $20,000 by the time we pay for everything, okay? And part of it was, you know, paid for by registration fees, but they didn't pay for everything, you know? So we were praying, and we wanted to bring this word into Chicago, and we're just saying, you know, Father, you know, we just said, does God call us to put on conferences or to be pastors? We call us first to be pastors. So what we wanted, we decided to do is still bring speakers in, but one at a time. Okay, that's the reason why I started the yeshiva school, too. So people can be trained up to do the work of the ministry, okay? And we're going to bring these speakers in one at a time, so instead of them getting 45 minutes to teach, they'll have like the whole weekend to teach. So Ernie Harrell is going to be here in March and is going to be teaching Hebrew, how to learn Hebrew. He's an excellent teacher. In May, we got Dr. Halissa Allwine, who will be here, teaches on the creation gospels. Maybe in December, Paul Neeson said he was going to be in the area, so he may be here in December as well. He teaches on healthy eating. He's really a lot of excellent material, so he'll be in the area. And then we're also going to have Tony Robinson come in. He's still, you know, whatever his schedule allows him. But, you know, again, we want to bring people in. We want to train them. We want them to, you know, that's what Yeshua said, we're going to train people. And that's why we're doing the school, and that's why we bring people in, so we can train up. You have teachers, so people who go out there and, you know, preach the word and bring them in so they can grow. So, hallelujah. And then in, we've got some other speakers lined up, too. So we're just praising God for what he's doing. And then in December, we're at a Hanukkah party. We always have a good time, and the people from they used to attend the Jewish synagogue here, they come and bring their grandkids and stuff, and it's a time to be able to really be a witness to them and share with them. Because, you know, it's funny because most of them are married to women that are Catholic, so they think, you know, if you're a Christian, you're Catholic. And so they've asked us some questions, well, you know, is this true? No. You know? So we've had a chance to really, you know, share Yeshua with them. We also have tracts here. If you know somebody Jewish that you've been witnessing to, it's written by people that are Messianic Jews, specifically to Jewish people. And then there's other, anything on the table you can take. Okay, it's for free. Hallelujah. Is there anything else? Again, our youth meeting is starting. It's going to be once a month, the first Friday of every month. And I'm excited about that. We're going to be dealing with, you know, again, topics that we're going to talk about the Holocaust. Because, again, it's not really taught. It's kind of, you know, left to like a little paragraph now. And creation, and, you know, I think it's going to be a good time, fun time for the kids, too. So, hallelujah. Get up and stretch. And we'll get some, a couple of the guys can get a couple of the tables down, too. So, oh, yes.
But my daughter.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
I'm gonna see can I get her to start coming since she's off work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, we're gonna set up for that. Or you can, you know, you do it via PayPal or just bring it next week.
Can I go on the website?
Yeah, if you go on the website and the. I think it's in the first, it'll say donations, it link it to donations, and you can send it to the paper. I'll know. Yeah, I'll know if it's from you. Yeah, that it's a tie. One that's going to. turn it off. It's probably about 2 hours of stuff in there.
Would you like this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know where you got to.
Oh, there should be a case up there. When you get...
I didn't see any.